Would he be better at Manchester United than Solskjaer?
Well, I'm only giving you my opinion. I believe so.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're welcome along to Monday's Off the Ball. Joe Malloy with you this evening, and there are lots of things happening. Alisson may be with the moment of the season. Certainly if you're a Liverpool fan, I think it was. It was all a bit nuts. Pat Nevin on the football show after nine. And there was Leicester as well. I think the FA Cup final made a bit of a comeback this weekend. Grabbed a lot of people over the weekend. Also on the football show, Karen Duggan is going to join us on the Champions League final. Barcelona, 4-0 winners against Chelsea. It was a disaster from a Chelsea perspective. They were like 4-0 down after half an hour. Karen's going to chat to us about that game. Monday Night Rugby then with Niamh Briggs. A lot of talking points out of the weekend. The Rainbow Cup, I think, is starting to keep rugby fans ticking over. Interesting games on Friday night. And then we'll do the football and the hurling in GAA. Hurling, 7:30. Hurling people not happy. John Kiley really leading the charge over the weekend. Michael Verney is going to join us. Michael Verney of the Irish Independent on the weekend's action and those talking points. And then great to have Darren O'Sullivan on, former All-Ireland winner with Kerry, talking football. 53106, the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick, hello.
How are you, Joe?
Nathan Murphy, hello.
Good evening.
We will come to Alisson. I know you were there on commentary. We have the commentary where, I don't know, I just thought you could have given it a bit more. But we'll come to that in a minute. We'll come to that in a minute. John Kiley, in particular, leading the charge. Hurling people are not happy, Nathan. They are not one bit happy. So John Kiley, after the defeat in Salt Hill to Galway, he was saying that really, you know, people might be glad to have saved their €20. And if, you know, they're allowed in a year's time, they won't be paying to see this. So he said the game's changed in the last 4 months while we've all been at home. The tackle's been taken out of the game. He was saying 36 frees in this game. There were 50-60 restarts. You throw in sidelines as well. Unbelievably stop-start. He said the referee's understanding's at an all-time low. He referenced the Waterford-Westmeath game, which had 48 frees. And then on the RT highlights last night, Jackie Tyrrell was talking about cotton wool frees, Ursula Jacob, players afraid to tackle. And John Kiley as well was talking about diving, which is, to be fair, a slightly separate issue, but connected in other ways. When a player has the ball, they run at you and they throw themselves on the ground and they're roaring and shouting. That's embarrassing and that's not part of the game. Some clear examples of simulation there today, a couple that were very embarrassing. And he said the referee's interpretations of the rules and our understanding is at an all-time low. So not one bit happy.
God, isn't it refreshing to hear a manager actually say it as it is and how they feel after a match. When you listen to the nonsense that Peter Keane was coming out with after Kerry beat Galway and Arshur could have gone anyway in the end. This sort of Yerra bullshit that we all have to live through instead of just saying, wow, David Clifford, what a player. Going with the momentum and the positivity of that. To hear John Kiley come out, and like, that is very unusual for managers to be so critical of a rival's players and to accuse them of diving, which is what simulation is, is something that if they meet later in the summer is going to come up a lot.
Yeah.
But hurling people, who are hurling people? How do you become, like, there's no way we can become hurling people, I presume.
You're born into it.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. No matter how hard we try, I know you're going to be talking to Keith Higgins later in the month, and you know Keith brought hurling in Ballyhaunus to another level.
Yeah.
Yet still, we can never be true hurling people in Mayo. It seems they're all on board with this one. And I think we see quite often with the GAA when it comes to rules that it'll all even itself out in the end.
I would think so as well. They'll just have to stop giving so many frees. And the other thing as well, because, you know, the ball travels so far now as well, it's so stop-starty and you've got like the full forward running back 30, 40 metres to take the free. And it's very slow, and as Liam Sheedy said in his interview, you know, you've got kind of 50, 60 puckouts a game. You know, it does just start to really add up. And, you know, hurling is the antithesis of stop-start, really. It's meant to really flow and catch fire, and just not so far. And I guess, look, a little bit of that as well is the short passing, which the purists don't like, and, you know, not enough kind of 50-50 battles. So there's kind of various things at play.
The other thing, no crowds.
Well, sure, yeah.
Is there a sport that's been more affected by the lack of crowds than hurling? Because you think of the big occasions, and there's almost a feeling of a Semple Stadium, even not just for Munster final day, but for big matches and even the late night matches now, and same at Croke Park. And that's not there in hurling. And as you say, it feels very repetitive. I never thought you'd say hurling is dull, but watching the last couple of weekends, it has been quite dull.
Yeah. I saw Eddie Brennan on Twitter either this week or last week raising the issue again of the ball and does it travel too far. And Michael Dagenham responded saying it's not just the ball, that even the hurls have changed a lot, you know, from his day. It's a huge difference.
Yeah. The wood is completely is different, yeah. The balls are different. But there is, like, in Kylie's point, there is like the kernel of an issue, because if you marry the fact that there are 50, 60 restarts per game, and you look at what Jason Ford was able to do on Saturday evening with Tipperary, pinging the ball, you know, with comparative ease from 65 yards. Like, if you have just essentially like a bunch of frees and lads who can ping the ball from beyond halfway, it's going to become pretty dull pretty quick.
I mean, well, Tip didn't score from play last week in their match with Limerick in the second half. They didn't score from play.
But why would you need to, if you're going to have this increase in frees?
Yeah.
If you have a team who are canny enough and cynical enough, and, you know, I know they don't exist in hurling because hurling is a pure and innocent game, but if you've got a team who are canny enough to go and engineer a bunch of frees or engineer a bunch of restarts, then you're going to be putting yourself in a position whereby if you've got decent strikers of the ball, then you can probably go and win a match.
Yeah.
And that's the line they're walking at the moment. And that's, I think, what Kylie will probably have an issue with, because if that does grow in that way, then we are going to have something that people aren't really going to be flocking towards on TV.
I think in the grand tradition of league rules throughout the years, this will be softened and the referees will become less whistle happy. By the way, a word in defence of football. So, I mean, every league campaign, if you're not, you know, sitting there at Congress and scribbling down every rule change and every motion, stuff passes you by. So there's often like a rule change that catches you when the league actually starts. So with football, I hadn't realised that this business of, you know, if there's a foul inside the 20-metre line, it's an automatic penalty until the weekend. It just had passed me by. It's only when you see the games actually happening, you realise. And Dublin, two of their three goals were penalties. And so this just didn't make any sense to me. So this was brought in hurling because there was no black card in hurling. And there was a raft of these drag downs right through the championship last year. So something had to be done. But like, this was not an issue in football. The black card in football was largely doing its job. And it's almost as if they said, okay, look, it works in one sport, sure. Well, if we're bringing in hurling, let's throw it into football as well. And there was no need. I don't know why this has suddenly emerged on a football field. And already weekend one, there were so many inconsistencies here. This is going to be really problematic in football. Was it a goal scoring opportunity or not is a trickier thing in football, I think, than in hurling to a judge. I don't know why they've brought this in. And they've left the offensive mark.
I'm with you, Joe. I was watching the Dublin Roscommon game yesterday and was very confused as to what was happening. Maybe there's been such a concentration on the hurling rule changes. And fouling is part of the game. It's part of sport. If there's allowed to be contact, there's allowed to be a foul, and it doesn't necessarily mean there needs to be this ultimate penalty at the end of it. That if you foul someone out in the wing, if you foul someone more than 20 yards out, a free is fine. Not everything needs this massive punishment to make it this free-flowing, enthralling game. Actually, a game with a bit of age, with a bit of niggle, can be a brilliant thing.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the constant want to punish tackling. And yes, bad tackling, nobody wants to see it. Yeah. But defenders are there to defend. Some of the best battles you see, Keith Higgins against James O'Donoghue, there's going to be a little nudge here or there. There's going to be a little clip of the ankles at times if somebody's skipping by. It's a free. Move on.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, oh, it was a yard inside the 20-metre. It was an honest effort, but I went down, so I get a penalty. Like, but there was no issue with this in football. There weren't the drag downs. The black card was in place. There was no black card in hurling, so I don't know why they've brought it in football. I hadn't realised they had.
What was the really high-profile issue? Was it in the final a year or two ago involving Mayo, where somebody was bearing down...
Mayo were robbed, Richie. You're dead right.
Yeah, there you go. No, there was somebody bearing down on goal. Somebody's going to text in and correct me on this one. Or he'll pick it up. Whereby somebody was bearing down on goal. I don't know if it was Killian O'Connor. And they were dragged down. But essentially it was a free. Whereby in this instance, I think it would have been a penalty. So it was those kind of cynical incidents.
And was there a black card, Rich? Was there a black card? Can you remember?
I think there might have been.
Yeah, see, I think in that point, that instance, if there's a black card, then, you know, you take your punishment. So I don't know. I just think they've created such a problem for themselves in football. And I don't know who was making the point. Again, somebody will text in and say, and I totally agreed with it, that the offensive mark just should have been binned. Everyone hates the offensive mark. Like, catching the ball chest height when it's been kicked, you know, not very far is not a great skill. Shouldn't be rewarded with a pop-it goal. We didn't really see a team exploit it to the full extent last year. Was it last year it was in for the league and not the championship?
Mm.
Yeah. So now it's here.
We had a strange scenario, obviously, where the league and championship were
a
massive gap between them.
So if the offensive mark is hanging around, a team is really going to try and exploit it now to the full extent. And there's going to be a game where it's, you know, makes a mockery of the whole thing and it's going to blow up. I don't know. Congress every year.
It's looking for problems. It's like, say, watching Manchester City and their tactical fouling and deciding we want to get rid of that. Anytime Fernandinho fouls within 35 yards of his own goal, we're going to give a penalty. Mm. And that'll soon cut it out. Like, that's a totally inadequate punishment. 2 years ago, apparently, that the mark was brought in for the league.
Mm. I need to double check the mark.
If you're a team in Division 3 or Division 4 and you're looking for a potential edge.
Yeah.
So last year the championship had the mark, but Jared Gilmore was just telling me nobody's had a time to exploit it. And probably a similar situation here. Should have had, 3 weeks back?
Yeah. But that's the thing. But I think there's going to be a game now where it'll make a mockery of the whole thing. Like, if I'm not mistaken, this is how ludicrous it was. And again, I'm talking off memory here, which is always a dangerous thing to do. But I think Dublin effectively in the league campaign when it first came in said, well, we're not actually going to use the mark because it's not going to be around for the championship. So why would we get used to it? But if it's hanging around, teams will. And then there'll be a hullabaloo and then it'll be binned again. And that's our process. That's the next 18 months mapped out of GAA chats, I think.
But this is a 2 week conversation, isn't it? The start of the league every year, rules conversation, when really we should be just talking about David Clifford and his genius.
Well, true. If the mark hangs around, though, I heard someone saying it is hanging around for the championship. I should have double checked that. I'm just meant to double check that before I came on. Someone outside will double check that for me, that it's hanging around for the championship, but I'm pretty sure it is. On a separate note, you were there yesterday, Nathan, on commentary alongside Brian Kerr when the following happened.
Alexander Arnold whips it in. Alisson scores! Unbelievable! The goalkeeper has scored in the 94th minute. You've never seen Alisson like it. Alisson for Liverpool to keep alive their top four hopes. And nobody can quite believe what they have seen. West Brom 1, Liverpool 2. You're not mishearing me. The goalkeeper, Alisson, heads into the back of the net. Wow, a goal from the gods by Alisson.
So I was saying it probably is the moment of the season, and it's because Man City didn't really have an Aguero moment or a Vincent Kompany moment, you know, and this kind of was just so ridiculous. And then his interview afterwards was really, I suppose, emotional as well, and you kind of think, my God, he hasn't even gone home. He hasn't seen his mother since his dad died and what he's playing through, and all of it bubbled up to the surface. Amazing. It was what a header as well.
Brilliant. Oh, I think it is the reaction that's what made it, because you could see instantly how popular Alisson was with his teammates and what it meant to him that everything that he's gone through over the last 2-3 months just came to a head. And it was of seismic importance for Liverpool. If they can kick on from here and win their last two games and finish in the top four, who knows where it leads to next season. And you're right, this season has been flat, because you think of the biggest games, Manchester City were beaten by Manchester United, but it didn't really matter. Maybe Manchester City's performance against Liverpool earlier in the season with Phil Foden and him bursting onto the scene is something we'll be talking about in years to come. I kept thinking back in the games I covered, West Ham been 3-0 down with 6-7 minutes left against Spurs, and Lanzini scores this brilliant equaliser. But it certainly, compared to the last few years, with the absence of supporters as well, hasn't lived up to Liverpool demolishing everybody, Manchester City and Liverpool battling away, both nearly getting to 100 points. And the season before that, when City played maybe the best football we've ever seen in the Premier League, this season hasn't had that.
No.
So yesterday, as a moment, was probably as special as it got. And then the interview afterwards as well just rammed home that footballers have gone through a lot. They're there week in, week out. They're semi-isolating on a permanent basis, not really getting out of their house. They're Obviously, for these foreign players, most of them haven't got home at any stage. And Alisson has been through the worst tragedy possible, and to be stuck thousands of miles away, not able to get back, it's just shocking.
It's horrific. I
think everybody was happy for him, regardless of what club it was.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's having all the deliberations we would all have. You know, do I just need to go to Jurgen Klopp and say, I'm sorry, I need to go to my mum? Do you know, I just have to go home. I have to go.
And nobody would have blamed him for it 2 months ago if he just turned around to Klopp and said, listen, I just need to go home, take the rest of the season off, because like the circumstances surrounding his dad dying are just like, they're absolutely horrific. And anybody in any walk of life would have been forgiven for taking a fair decent chunk of time away from their job. He took a couple of weeks, didn't go home, was back at it, and then he gets that moment yesterday. It's something else.
Remind us the circumstances, I wasn't aware.
He drowned. He was swimming while on holiday, and he drowned. He drowned in a lake. He was just 57. So, like, it's not as if he was an old man. It was an accident, and a really terrible one at that. So, you know, couldn't blame him for it if he didn't want to come back this season. So, fair play that he has done that.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to your news around now, Rich. Just a few texts. Maybe John Kiely could coach his players to understand the new rules and stop fouling. Just a thought. Well, I don't actually think the tackle rule has changed. I think it's the implementation. Nobody really felt. There were definitely a lot of soft frees, for sure. Graham says, the people who look after hurling need to ask themselves what kind of product they want to put out there. Nobody watches NBA for a free throw competition. Nobody watches NFL for the kicking of points. Nobody watches rugby for the penals. We want to see touchdowns, tries, dunks in hurling. We want to see the game zip from end to end. The possession game, says Tom and Kilkenny, is ruining hurling. No more man on man in the air. When did you last see a hurl broke in a game? Serious question. And then a last one, Owen and Carlo. Lads, on John Kiley's comments, as well as Jackie Tyrrell's, I agree that there are issues regarding fouling. However, the idea that there are soft frees being specifically given against Limerick is laughable. John Kiley definitely said Limerick gave away some frees as well that were legitimate frees, but he said it went too far, basically. No, he absolutely said that Limerick had a discipline issue, but he did reference the Waterford-Westmeath game, which had 48 frees. I mean, again, 48 frees, and most hurling games will have, what, 50 puckouts? That all adds up, and it does get very stop-start. Rich, there is football this evening, not Premier League.
But close on it, yeah. There are crowds at both of tonight's semi-final first legs in the Championship playoffs. 2,000 fans are inside the Vitality, where there's a 6 o'clock kickoff, and it's now Bournemouth 1, Brentford 0. Arno Danjuma has given the hosts the lead there. Shane Long and Mark Travers are both on the bench for the hosts. At 8:15, Conor Harahan should be involved for Swansea City. The South Wales club make the trip to Harahan's former side, Barnsley. As you mentioned there, Limerick hurling manager John Kiely claims communication between officials and teams is at an all-time low. He was speaking after seeing his side lose for the first time in 2 years. The reigning league and All-Ireland champions were beaten on a scoreline of 26 points to 117 in Division 1A of the Allianz Hurling League yesterday. But speaking after the game, Kiely was unhappy with the play acting from their opponents and what he saw as a whistle-happy referee.
I wasn't aware that anything had to change. The free count is, obviously we have to take account for the fact that, yes, I completely agree that some of those frees are frees on our behalf. Hurley's late contact, maybe a hand left in, maybe a hand high, absolutely. But, you know, when a player has the ball and they run at you and throw themselves on the ground and are roaring and shouting, that's embarrassing. And that's not part of the game. Simulation, yeah, there was some clear examples of simulation there today. A couple were very embarrassing. None of us want to see that brought in as part of our game, you know. But having said that, the referee's interpretation of the rules and our understanding of that is at an all-time low, in my opinion. We don't really clearly know what it is that we're expected to do.
So we talked a lot about the referee, and Nathan, as you said at the outset, that will not go down well in Galway.
No, for the most, well, I was going to say the most high-profile hurling manager, he's not that, but the most successful of modern times and manager of a Limerick side that most people would have as favourites to go and win this year yet again. Like, to call out one of your major rivals and say that they're simulation is essentially saying they're cheating here, that they're diving around the place, they're playing the referee, is incredible. So it'll be interesting to see how the Limerick management or the Galway management team and players respond to this. They'll have to wait a while probably before getting a chance on the pitch. But yeah, like, even listening to them again, they're wow, this is not, it's not what hurling people do, is it?
It wasn't like a throwaway comment. I mean, he went back to it several times and he called it embarrassing. I mean, it was very, very forceful. Obviously feels very strongly about it. I'm just amazed he would give the opposition any ammunition. I mean, if he really feels hurling is going that way, he could probably have picked an opportune moment to not single out a certain team and just say, this is creeping into the game generally, I hope it stops, that kind of a thing. I guess when you lose, you're more likely to say these things. But yeah, I don't remember him ever coming out like that strongly over the last couple of years on any issue like that. So it will be interesting when Galway players and management are asked about it in a couple of weeks. I mentioned that Waterford-West Meath game, Rich, with the 48 frees. There is a scoreline as well.
Yeah, it was pretty close, 122 to 119 in favour of the Deitha yesterday at Walsh Park. Wexford fought back to Be Clare on a scoreline of 219 to 121 in Ennis, while Kilkenny had to work for their 128 to 315 win over newly promoted Antrim at Nolan Park. In Division 1 South of the Allianz Football League, All-Ireland champions Dublin got their season off to a winning start with a 122 to 16 point victory over Roscommon at the Hyde, while newly promoted Armagh beat Ulster rivals Monaghan 116 to 112 in Brewster Park, that in Division 1 North.
Just double checked, the offensive mark is hanging around for the year. Yeah, so I knew that was the case, but then I suddenly had a moment of horrible doubt. So the offensive mark for the next... for this championship coming up, I don't get it. Everyone hates it.
It slows the game down. Oh,
everyone hates it.
It was, feels as though it was brought in to reward the booming 50-yard pass that,
yeah,
you know, you see a Darrell Shea type climb up to the clouds and gather the ball and reward that skill that has been lost. But as you say, the reality is it's a nice little short pass into the chest. If I need time to stop and pause and take a look around and just slow the game down a bit, that's what I'll do.
Yeah. See, I think the hurling thing will settle down because, you know, John Kiley's kicked it off now. Referees will be wary of blowing too easily and it'll just, this will be one of those distant memories come championship time. But because the mark is written in stone, it can't be watered down. I mean, if the ball's been kicked and it's gone the distance and it's caught, then it's a mark and no watering down is possible. So you really just can't imagine all these scenarios around the D where teams choreograph some movement and it's just a little, you know, pop pass into someone's chest and it'll be the softest of free. And if that happens 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a game and decides a big match, then, well, you can imagine the reaction.
I'm loving this, like, Sabutio/netball movement of footballers that you're envisioning that's going to happen.
We haven't seen it, though, yet, though. Isn't that the thing? We haven't actually seen it. But you'd love to see a scenario where, say, a Conor McManus, the Monaghan came up with a tactic that somehow isolated Conor McManus and he could get 12, 13 marks in a game.
Yes.
And we know he can kick them from anywhere.
Yes. But wouldn't you think last year, if you were an inter-county manager last year, you wouldn't have wasted a load of time working in something that wasn't applicable in the championship? Really? You know,
no, it made no sense.
You know, but now actually, well, again, look, they won't have much time into championship now. Maybe that will negate it somewhat. But
time's a massive factor.
It is a massive factor, yeah.
And the amount of games that they don't have this year.
But now you would, though. Now you would spend the time if you could. This could be worth 4, 5, 6 scores if a team gets really good at it. So, we'll see. I mean, it just, because obviously hurling is dominating at the moment. But Darren O'Sullivan's on later on, so we'll chat to him about that as well after 8:30. So where are we, Rich? That's the GAA done. Rangers?
Yeah, the Scottish FA says sectarian singing, vandalism and physical damage by some Rangers fans on Saturday brought an embarrassment to football. Several arrests were made in Glasgow city centre after the club was presented with the Scottish Premiership trophy. Meanwhile, police in Scotland are investigating claims that Rangers players use sectarian language during celebrations in a video that was posted on social media. Scotland's Justice Secretary Humza Yousaf says if found guilty of engaging in such behaviour, those Rangers players should be dealt with in the strongest terms.
What I would say to Rangers Football Club is I would expect them to investigate that clip too. And again, if it is genuine and players have been involved in anti-Catholic prejudice, then they should be sacked from the club. Very simple. If I was to shout F the Pope in my workplace, or indeed outside of my workplace, I would expect a P45 when I went into work. So if any Rangers player or staff member has been caught saying that and singing that, then they should be out the door.
Now, the effort to get an independent regulator into English football kicked off today in a big way.
Yeah, former players including Gary Neville, Rio Ferdinand and Gary Lineker have launched a parliamentary petition calling for an independent regulator in English football. The group's also backed by some journalists and the move is a response to the failed attempt by the so-called Big Six to join a Super League. An open letter says that that was a direct threat to the integrity of the game. The petition that they put out there has gathered in excess of 100,000 signatures at this stage.
Be interesting, Nathan. I mean, this was bubbling away anyway think it was David Bernstein, the former FA chairman, was part of a working group with Gary Neville last summer, even, this dated back to. And that was more about spreading the wealth, I think, and the other 72 clubs and trying to get a bit more Sky money to funnel down, all that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure what a regulator would do to prohibit a breakaway European Super League. It's not like they're going to ring up the regulator and say, do you mind if we do this? Who knows where it goes?
Well, now is the time to strike.
Yeah.
And over the next 6 months, put a set of rules in place that it makes it almost impossible for those big six to try and grab a bigger slice of the pie. They will do everything in their power over the coming years to do just that. But maybe you have such punishments in place that if they go behind everyone's back again, it's just not worth their while. But you're right. What was the FA not meant to be an independent regulator of some sort?
That's what they don't have enough power. Well, they do have enough power, but it's like Rory Smith, I think it was, on Twitter earlier on today, just said that the FA initially, like when, you know, football was formed and you know, organised initially in the late 1800s, like this is what the FA are for. But football has grown in such exponential ways, in such different ways over the course of the last 20 years, that the FA can't possibly do everything. So they need to actually decide what it is that they look after and do that exceptionally well, and then possibly leave other areas of the game that they can't tend to in such a hands-on way to people who are qualified to do so. But like in essence, this is the job of every FA in every country, to look after this kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're not doing a great job, really. I mean, the Premier League chief executive came out last week and said, Richard Masters, and said, yeah, we don't really need an independent regulator. You know, we stopped the Super League, and so job done there. And the Premier League clubs don't want an independent regulator because they don't want to give any more money away. And I don't know, I heard a few people in the know earlier on today talking on radio saying they'd be very surprised if an independent regulator will be able to dictate the flow of money. That's a, you know, fight that they would find very difficult to win, you know. But then it probably depends on what legislation comes in. So it's all very early stages. There's a great populist movement behind this now, and it's, you know, save football and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know,
you can see the hypocrisy everywhere. It's impossible not to see the hypocrisy when you see UEFA, the saviors of football, refusing to put the Champions League in England because the VIPs can't get in. Even I was thinking last week watching what Manchester United were put through, like Manchester United, Leicester, this huge game in the Premier League season, and the Premier League more or less decided, well, it doesn't suit us, so we're going to write it off. Like, that is not what the Premier League should be about, but that's at every level. So you're dead right. Do the Premier League want a regulator? No chance.
No, they don't. We're not. The money's ours. It's ours. It's ours. It's ours. That's the general consensus amongst the top 20. Fellas, thank you. Appreciate it. Richard McCormack, Nathan Murphy. We're talking hurling with Michael Verney next.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game. We change it. Gillette. Made of what matters.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.